This is Daniel Libby reporting for CKLN at the Toronto Street Game Forum with author Michael Chettleborough. How do you think today's forum went?
I think it went well. I think it shows that there's a lot of interest in the subject. People came from after work to come see us talk and speak about the gang issue, and I think it speaks to the fact that gangs are a top-of-mind issue in many Torontonians right now.
My name is Rick Osmore, and I have a story. Wanted to thank you for letting me share my voice. I met Michael, I read his book, I loved it. I loved how he made himself real in the book. I like how he started with I was in a gang and then actually went to his hockey team and made me realize that's right. There is something in young people that's vulnerable. It's vulnerable at that time and it's being taken advantage of. In my life, what happened, I was a good kid and I got caught up in gang activity very young, and by 21 years of age, went to the penitentiary. And so for armed robbery and weapons charges, a couple other charges that dealt with violence and guns, I went to the penitentiary for almost 23 and a half years. I had a 25-year sentence. And during that time, I never dealt with my addiction. There's more drugs in prison than there are out here. And think about that when you say maybe you should send some kid to jail. You know, it's the university of crime. Sometimes it's not the best thing to do. There's some people that need to be there. There's some people that don't. Through God's grace, I survived what happened to me, and I started turning my life around. The only thing I could look at was, how can I help other kids that are in my situation not go through what I went through, because it is hell. And you know what? From truth, you can't go wrong. And so my organization is called Truth for Teens. And what it is I go into schools, talk to the kids, and then I let them ask questions. I tell them what I think about it, and then I let them ask questions. This is what I do. And then Michael let me read his book, and I said, yay, finally somebody's got it. What we're doing right now in the war on drugs and on gangs is not working. We need to have political vision that's beyond 4 years. We need to make gang uncool. And when you think about it, organized crime is always underground. When you have a street gang or a bike gang or whatever, where they're wearing colors and they're claiming territory, the only way that works above ground is by intimidation. And realize that intimidation is intimidation of death, intimidation of rape, intimidation of torture, what Michael was brave enough to write about in the book, and what it really is, and that's what our kids are growing up in. How do we have our kids self-actualize when they're living in fear? How do we say that we can let this go on in our country? And so we need guys like Michael that provoke thought. That is, they're, you know, legalized drugs? Is he insane? Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what's working. And so thank you for letting me have this time, and thank you for writing a good book.
And yes, sir, go ahead.
I did a sort of discussion on the whole issue of snitching, stop snitching movement. And the feedback I get back from kids, though, is a sense of almost of poor community relations with the police. It's what I hear back is people feel that if they go to the police, it's almost like their name is going to get dragged through the mud, that police will use their name in discussions with other people being interviewed, which gets out into the wider community. And also a sense that the police themselves have their own code of silence, that they don't snitch among themselves. So
that's an interesting point. Lawyers don't like testifying against lawyers, doctors against doctors, policemen against police officers. And there's also the fear of intimidation and threats.
The stop snitching culture, I think, is just a label put on by a Baltimore rapper a few years back. But if you look at all criminal organizations, right back to the days of mafia and their Omerta code, you don't cooperate with police, even if you're a victim and you seek your redress on the street. That's the gang culture, whether it's street or otherwise. I think to the issue of community relations, I think the Toronto Police Service has a big job to do. They've got a big problem on their hands, and they've gotten some new resources to deal with the problem. They're making some tremendous inroads from an intelligence standpoint. The two or three large sweeps that they did, the time will tell whether it'll be effective in terms of actually solving the gang issue.
One thing that you brought up was that the street gang sweeps, mm-hmm. you were saying it's going to take time to know if those are truly effective. How long do you think that would take, and happen?
The biggest problem with the big gang sweeps is that they are huge, huge cases, in some cases with 10,000 plus pages of testimony, and it takes a while for those charges to work their way through the criminal justice system. What first happens is Crown attorneys will look them, they'll cherry pick the best cases, and they'll plea bargain many of them. But it often takes 2 to 3 years before those cases move through the system, and then when you can start doing some comparative analysis and say, for example, 70 people got arrested on 1,000 charges, and what actually stuck were a much smaller number and a lot of plea bargains, a lot of people were left on the street. So it takes time to really identify whether gang sweeps work. I think the biggest problem with sweeps is it creates a pig in the python in the criminal justice system. It's hard to process that many cases at once.
Not is somewhere in Montreal has control of what's going to happen to my neighborhood. So what difference can I make, you know? And how is your book going to help people like me in our situation, and also influences people that are controlling our country and making it the way it is right now?
Good question. I know your work, Mark, and you're making a tremendous difference. So I think you're a testament to a person who hasn't given up hope, who hasn't looked at their social condition and has thrown their hands up and said, I'm joining a gang because I'm going to get what I need from them. You took a different path, and you're a documentary filmmaker with credentials.
My name is Mark Sims, executive producer of jane-finch.com.
It's a really a great site. It's actually the site that I heard of this forum actually going on. How does it make you feel that there's people like myself are turning to
jane-finch.com
for news and stuff like that than it's mainstream media?
I love it. I mean, the site really started off as just something for fun in the beginning. We never knew that it was going to grow to this extent in the end, and we're just happy that people are going to the site and are getting information off of it, and are also learning that Jane and Finch is not as bad as the media makes it out to seem.
Over the years in Jane and Finch, have you seen a change?
I haven't seen a change in terms of the level of violence. I've seen the violence turn to something else, which is scary, because where is it going to be in the next 10, 20 years?
I write about this in the book. The Toronto Board of Trade last year, one of the most well-funded board of trades in the country, with lots of media sponsorship, launched the Jobs One program. We're going to create 1,000 jobs for at-risk youth. They have a six-month window to create those 1,000 jobs. How many jobs do you think they created? 81 jobs, right? I call attention to that. As a CEO of a technology company, my community, my peers need to do much more. So, you know, the book is a starting point. I know there's going to be much more dialogue and discussion on this. And
as an author, how important was it for you writing this book to put forward new approaches?
Well, I think it was important for me to stimulate a debate about gang issues. I saw a lot of common descriptions of the problem and pat answers in terms of what to do with it. Having worked in the field for 10 years, I knew many of those things weren't going to work. So I think I needed to put out there for people to consider some key ideas to really change the way they thought about the gang issue, that you can't arrest your way out of the problem. We need to look at the unstoppable momentum of demand in the drug trade and deal with that, because gangs equals the drug trade. And it was really important to create a bit of a buzz so that people actually begin talking about it. And the more people that talk about it, the more engagement that there will be, and the more great ideas that will come up. So I needed to ruffle some feathers, as it were, to get people talking, sure.
On behalf of CKLN, thanks a lot for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time.